For tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday evening, July the 10th, 1999. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Null from Salina, Kansas, is the speaker of the evening.
Oh, Jesus. Lord Jesus, we come to you tonight, Lord God. We just come to you. Lord, I hold this teaching up to you now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just ask you to anoint it, Lord, with your anointing, Lord God. It'll go forth and it'll break the yokes, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, it is your word and your anointing, Lord. And go forth, Lord, and let it touch the hearts of the people, Lord, that can go into their hearts, Lord, bear crop 30, 60, 100 fold. It can break any yokes, Lord God, and set your captives and set the captives free to worship you and serve you, Lord. Bear fruit to you in the name of Jesus. All God's people said, amen. Well, Sister Coffee brought a very good teaching on healing today. Healing by the anointing of God, by the Holy Spirit. But I say to you that for every gift of God, there's a spiritual counterfeit. And I want to talk to you about some of the counterfeits that are out there that can trap you, bring you into bondage, that you need to be aware of. Now, they're done by familiar spirits, by people with familiar spirits. We're going to talk a few minutes about familiar spirits. It's a term that appears in the Old Testament frequently. And it says, suffer not a person with a familiar spirit to live. And I looked through the New Testament, and I couldn't find any reference to familiar spirits in the New Testament. And I knew that a familiar spirit was a spirit through which someone used in fortune telling and divination and card laying and that sort of thing. But I wanted a little better exclamation than that. And I fasted and I prayed and I looked at the Word of God. And one night, as I was going to bed, the Lord told me, and it was an audible voice, and He said, my son, a familiar spirit is first one that's familiar with you and also one that you're familiar with through which you can manifest supernatural power. I said, oh. And then I said, well, why is it just in the Old Testament, not in the New Testament? And I didn't get an answer. And so I began to, you know, pray and look and reread the New Testament. And then suddenly God just dropped it in my spirit. Do you manifest supernatural power? Do you, as one of my children, manifest supernatural power through a familiar that you're familiar, through a spirit that you're familiar with? I said, yes, the Holy Spirit. He said, that's right. In the Old Testament, all persons with supernatural power who were not recognized anointed prophets of God were considered to have a familiar spirit, and they were stoned or run out of the land. But in the New Testament, we have people who have familiar spirits. And in Acts, in Ephesus, chapter 16, we see one. Acts the Apostle. Acts chapter 16, verse 16. Now it happened as we went to prayer, a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. Evidently, this lady could accurately foretell the future to some extent, or she wouldn't be bringing her masters much profit. And this girl followed Paul and us and cried out, these men are the servants of the Most High God to proclaim you the way to salvation. And she did this for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed or distressed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out at that very hour. Now, you know, this is an interesting thing because it shows Paul is casting a demon out of somebody who didn't ask him to. Now, that's interesting. Because, you know, we generally say that people, slaves who love their chains will never be free. And people who, you can't cast the demon out unless the people asked you to. Unless they wanted to go. But here, apparently, Paul had an anointing. He'd become really distressed with this lady. She was following behind him, and she was proclaiming it. And it's felt by most commentators that she felt like she was going to be the prophet in the church when Paul left. He was going to be the prophetess. Or else, people were going to look and say, look, what he's doing is no different. He has a slave girl going with him. I mean, everybody knows that she's been going down the Temple of Zeus, and she's been prophesying down there. And she's considered an oracle of... she's considered an oracle of wherever it is in Greece, I forget now. And she's considered an oracle, and you know, same old thing. Really, it's not any different. Paul said, come out. That's the reason he was distressed. And so he bound this thing and cast it out. But here we find it. Now, I just want you to look at Deuteronomy 18, 9 to 15. I don't want to labor on this very long. I can get into this, and if I get down into this, I won't have, I'll be a long time getting out. And I just want to run this by you in case you haven't seen it before. But you ask me, where does it say that we're not supposed to deal with people who have familiar spirits? It says so in Deuteronomy 18. And it says, when you come into the land, starting verse 9, when the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not follow the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire. Now that is a child sacrifice. The Moabites and the Ammonites and the Canaanites were required to sacrifice their firstborn child to their God. When he was 3 days old. They did it different ways. They burned the child. The prophets of Baal stuck a knife through his heart and let the blood drain out. They did it in various ways, but they killed the baby. Jesus, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob says, your first child belongs to me, but you can buy him back. Every baby that opens a womb shall be dedicated to the Lord, and you shall buy him back for a lamb or two turtle doves. A lamb, if you can't afford a lamb, then two turtle doves. And they went and dedicated Jesus at the appropriate time, and showed their financial status because they used two turtle doves. They were not a wealthy family. At least Mary and Joseph were not wealthy. That's good evidence that her relatives were quite wealthy. A one who practices witchcraft. Now, we've talked about what witchcraft is. Or a soothsayer. That's one who interprets omens. Or a sorcerer. That's one who uses aluments and talisman and music and drugs. The modern Greek word from which we get the word sorcery is pharmakomichia, from which we get pharmacy. Or one who conjures spells, that's a curse caster. Or medium or spiritualist, or one who calls up the dead, that's a necromancer. One who worships the dead. One who, some people pray to dead folks. That's necromancy. Some people light candles to the dead. Do ancestor worship. In China, they worship their ancestors. They go and spend all night in the tomb and have a feast and do things to placate the spirit of the ancestors and so forth. So they won't be mad at them. That's necromancy. And it says in Isaiah that you're not supposed to spend the night in the graveyard. All right, look at verse 12, and I want all of you to look at this very carefully. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. Now, up here it says that you shall not follow the abominations of those nations, the acts of those nations. And down here it says those who do these become an abomination to God. You shall be blameless. Look at verse 14. For the nations which you just read, listen to soothsayers and diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not appointed such for you. The Lord will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst. Now, in Acts 2 and Acts 7, in Acts 2, Peter, on his sermon, after he'd healed the man at the beautiful gate, said that Jesus Christ was this prophet. Stephen in Acts 7 says Jesus Christ was this prophet. In John, the first chapter of John, the Pharisees sent out to John the Baptist and said, "Are you the prophet that is coming?" This prophet is Jesus Christ. Anybody wants to ask you, Jesus served the perfect fivefold ministry. They say, "Well, where was he a prophet?" Here it says he was a prophet. Hebrews says that he was the apostle and high priest. And so this is the prophet. He says, "You're going to listen to Jesus Christ." And he sends the Holy Spirit as a familiar spirit, as a spirit that you're familiar with, through which you can manifest supernatural power if you're obedient to his word through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so you don't do witchcraft, you don't do soothsaying, you don't depend on talismans, you don't have rabbit foots, you don't have good luck charms, you don't have a piece of metal like you used to have, a little round piece of metal with a picture of a man with a staff on it, you know, that I wore on my keychain to protect me when I got in my car. That was my protection. That's sorcery. That's a talisman by definition. By Webster's definition, that's a talisman. And talismans are used in sorcery. You're not supposed to wear a medicine bag around your neck. My Indian forebears wore medicine bags around their neck to protect them, to provide power for them. I know people who go to the hoodoo and buy charms and potions to impose their will on someone, who buy things to bury, to curse people, to cause sickness, who buy portions and talismans for them to drink, to bring healing. So, you're not to do that. This is all called the occult. The occult means hidden, hidden knowledge. You can buy magazines that have in back, and it shows this man with light radiating, and you can buy and send and join these secret societies that will give you knowledge hidden that the rich folks know about, and they've hidden it from you. And actually, these are occult mechanisms. The occult was revived in England about 150 years ago in the spiritualist church. It came to this country 60 to 70 years ago, and it's really exploded in the last 30 years. And it comes under lots of different names. Spiritualist churches. It's a large spiritualist church 30 miles from my home in Wells, Kansas. They have conventions. Praise your Lord Jesus. Christian Science. Christian Science is neither Christian nor scientific. It deals through the use of familiar spirits. They are dedicated people who want to help people. And some of those people are the nicest people you'll ever meet. But they are deceived. Now, Mary Baker Eddy's book denies the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. It denies his divinity and denies the blood atonement. So they aren't Christian, although they read the Bible to you. In case you're interested, witches use the Bible to curse you. A man in my prayer book brought me this book that he'd sent off. It said, "Get Spiritual Power," and it was a book on witchcraft. How he built his altar and color candles he used and scriptures he was to read to make things go the way he wanted them to go. For prosperity, to bend people to his will, to control people at the job, to control his girlfriend, and all sorts of things. And I just looked at it and said, "That's pure witchcraft. What should I do with the book?" I said, "You need to burn it." So he gave it to me, and I took it home and threw it in the fire. And I had this barrel out there with a grate in it, and I'd throw things in there and burn them up. And throw a little, I had lots of kindling then, I just throw this fire in it, pour a little lighter fluid on it and get it started and just throw the stuff in there and burn it up. It's interesting. I burned up some stuff. I had flames shoot 30 feet up in the air when I threw them in the fire. And one day my neighbor called over and said, Doc, "What are you doing over there? I'm about ready to call the fire department." I said, "Well, I put a little lighter fluid. I'm having a cookout. I put a little lighter fluid." "You put too much?" Well, I did use lighter fluid to start it, and I was cooking some books. Now, they have a little cookout, man. I was burning up. We were cooking the devil. But praise you, Lord Jesus. And that the Spirit, that's what you're supposed to do. Ephesus said that after the Sons of Sceva instance in Ephesus, it brought great conviction. And the people brought all of their scrolls, the curious arts they were using. That is the witchcraft they've been using. And they burned them. And the value was 200 or 25,000 pieces of silver, or 50,000 pieces of silver. I've forgotten now. But I figured it out to be about $250,000 worth of books they burned up. That's standard wages today. A drachma meant a day's wages. Okay. Now, okay, we've got spiritualism, Christian science, hypnosis. Well, you know, hypnosis is all right if the dentist does it, isn't it? Or what about if you go to your doctor and you got a bad headache, or to your psychiatrist and he hypnotizes you? Doesn't that make it all right? Well, it's all the same thing, you see. I mean, what you're doing, what you're doing when you get hypnotized is you lower your will, you become passive. And he imposes upon you a familiar spirit that will come into you and control your body. And you know, you have to practice this thing. Got to do it 3 or 4 times and practice relaxing and just let this thing take over your body. And he gets you deeper and deeper into the trance. And after 4 or 5 times, they can feel your teeth without it hurting. But it is a familiar spirit. And after you've been hypnotized, that man can talk to you on the telephone and put you in a trance. And I remember this doctor's wife who was having lots of headaches. And she went to this doctor who was hypnotizing people to get rid of their headaches. Whenever she had a headache, she'd just call him, and he hypnotized her over the phone. And her husband got sort of wondering, you know, if this was really right. Okay. New Age. Now, New Age uses a lot of meditation. They have crystals they look at. And they meditate on these crystals, and they go into trances, and they use mantras and chants, and invite, and they clear their mind. They have a, I can't remember the name of it now. It wasn't a mantra, but it was an unsolvable riddle in which you meditate on. He said, you all have heard the sounds of two hands clapping. Now consider the sound of one hand clapping. Think on that. And that's supposed to clear your mind so these demons can come in. But that's the New Age. And they bring in demons. Now don't make no mistake about it. They can cure your headache, you know. Cure your stomach pain. Cure your fear, you know. Take your headache away. Give you a brain tumor. You won't have a headache for 4, 5, 6 years, and then all of a sudden you're sick with a brain tumor. Mm-hmm. You deal with the devil. If you trade with the devil, you always trade up. He don't set you free. He just trades up a little bit. Puts you into deeper bondage. Give you colon cancer that's going to pop out in 10 years. Meanwhile, you out telling everybody what a wonderful thing this is, trying to get your friends into it. Mind control. Mind control is another type of meditation. Yoga. Y'all all heard of yoga. That is a Hindu form of meditation. Now you have to understand there are 5 different types of yoga. The deepest is Hatha yoga, and it is done by clearing your mind and concentrating and controlling your breathing pattern. The modern interpretation of this is called Lamas. It's Hatha Yoga. Now, you should get the book back there by Mrs. McManuson, The Beautiful Side of Evil, and Like Lambs to the Slaughter. She explains this really quite well. She talks about the type of meditation, the yoga meditation that's being introduced into the school systems. That your children are taught to meditate in the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd grades and invite these spirits in. It's happening. Transcendental meditation. Now, that's just another type of yoga. A lot of books are written about it. A lot of people get into it by reading books. But if you really get into it, and you go through the initiation ceremony, where you bring a camphor candle, a flower, and two handkerchiefs, and you make offerings on the altar, and you bow down before it, and you repeat certain chants in Sanskrit, you have no idea what you're promising. And then you're given a mantra. That's a word that you say over and over again. You're given the name of a very powerful Hindu god. And you sit there and you just chant and clear your mind. And that Hindu god will come into you. It's a serpentine spirit. And it will make you feel a little better for a while till he really gets consolidated in you. And he'll drive you crazy. Kill you. You know, the idea of the devil is to kill you as slowly and as painfully as possible. That's what he wants to do. He wants to kill you, degrade you as slowly and as painfully as possible because he hates you. He don't want to kill you quick. He wants to drag it out. Transcendental meditation and the passive mind. Now, the New Age, the mind control, the yoga, the transcendental meditation, the passive, the hypnosis, and the Christian sciences, and the spiritualism, all are based on one thing. You have to have a passive mind. You've got to clear your mind if it's come in. In the Episcopal Church there in the little town that I was, an ex-pastor's wife came in to teach the ladies to meditate, Christian meditation. And so I asked them what they were doing. And everybody was just all excited, and they were having all these visions. And I said, now, just tell me what you're doing. Well, we can't tell you. You have to experience it. Come in and let us take you through it. I said, why don't you just tell me about it? What did they do to you? Well, I finally got somebody who was willing to talk about it. Said, Doc, here's the weirdest thing I have ever been through in my life. And so he said, some of these people had these wonderful visions. He said, I had a horrible thing. I don't ever want any more to do with it. And so I went to her and I said, I told her, called her by name. I said, do you realize how dangerous this is? Oh, it's a God. She said, not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I said, this is type of yoga. It's a type of New Age. I said, you can name it a number of things. But it's been around for years. It's called spiritualism. And it's not of God. But Jesus appeared to me in a vision. Well, how'd you know it was Jesus? He said he was Jesus. He said, yeah, and the devil disguises himself as an angel of light, too. She would not listen. I raised such doubt in the ladies that they all backed off, and I got to... They were all in the Bible study with me, so I said, you know, I'd like to lead you all in a prayer, you know, to strengthen you. Not let them in a deliverance prayer. And bound up those demons. And they didn't go back. And it sort of disappeared, and she moved on to a church in another town and became the Christian director of Christian education down there. And the next thing I know that she's moved in, she's 45, almost 50 years old, she's moved in with some 25-year-old cowboy, and living with him and supporting him, and then she's run off with him, and they are off someplace else, and then I understand that that she wound up in the mental hospital. Those demons will eventually drive her crazy. But that is the end result. Now, the story told about the missionary tells a story of a native who had an infection in his arm. And the infection was going up his arm, and they prayed for him. And so he went to the doctor at the hospital, and the doctor wanted to amputate his arm here because he had gangrene on the arm, was going to kill him. And he was unwilling to have his arm cut off because then he couldn't make a living and support his family, so he went to the witch doctor. The witch doctor did a rite over him, and his arm was cured. This man was an elder in the church. After that, he was never able to exercise faith again. A strong Antichrist spirit came into him, and he fell away from the faith. He just was not able to exercise faith. When you receive a healing from any source other than the Lord Jesus Christ, you receive a demon. And that demon will destroy your faith. That demon will destroy your faith and try to kill you. And if you continually stay in it, that demon will invite more and more and more demons in. They get layered in, and then you just have lots of problems. Fortunately, you can get them cast out. If you've been in it a long time, it takes a long time to get out. I mean, you know, you don't get in bondage overnight, and very, very seldom do you get in bondage overnight. You know, I know people who got saved in jail and spontaneously delivered from alcoholism, from cigarettes, from lots of things. Just boom. I got delivered from profanity, foul temper. You know, I used to have the foulest mouth. And I wasn't even aware. My nurse said, "Do you know how you sound sometimes?" "What do you mean?" She said, "You know the words that come out of your mouth? What are you talking about?" "So I'm going to get a tape recorder and tape it." And I had several people tell me that. But I wasn't even aware. Something wrong with the way I talked. But when I got delivered, it disappeared. It was gone. Never had any more problems with that. It just was gone. My drinking problems, my foul temper, lots of other things I didn't even like to talk about, they just disappeared. But I had still smoked. It took me 5 years to get rid of cigarettes. And I had everybody and his brother pray for me. But it took 5 long years to get rid of cigarettes. Oh, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, let's go on here. Passive mind. Look at Proverbs 25:28. "Whosoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls." You see, you protect your spirit by having a will. But once you lower your will, and that's what you do when you have the passive mind. You sit down and clear your mind and don't think of anything, and you sit there and hum or say this mantra and chant, and just have a blank mind, then anything can come into it. And something supernatural happens, you say, "Oh, it's God." What God? Not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He doesn't want you to have a passive mind. He wants you to have an open mind. He wants you to be willing to follow Him. He wants you to have a mind to hear Him and be obedient to His voice. But He doesn't want you to sit there like an ottoman. He doesn't require that you be possessed and allow Him to take control of your body. The devil will try to take control of your body and do with it as he sees fit. This is the reason alcoholics have blackout spells, where they just suddenly black out and 2 days later they find themselves in a city 100 miles away. Don't know what happened the last 2 days. What happened is that this one of these familiar spirits that has come in when they're drunk, has been layered there, suddenly takes over and hauls them off. It's called a blackout spell. It's a demon. Psychiatrists can't tell you what it is. Jesus. Okay. Now, we've talked about healing. Anytime you depend on anything to heal you. Now, I want to show you in the New Testament something. Let's turn back to Acts chapter 16 again. Acts chapter 19. Now, God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them and the evil spirits went out of them. This is a prayer cloth. We anoint these. We pray over them. The leadership prays over them. We pass them around and everybody prays over them. And we send them out. And we have tremendous testimonies about these prayer cloths. Now, the devil has a counterfeit for the prayer cloth. That's a good luck charm. That's there is a certain church that has a scarf that if you wear around your neck, it will heal your diseases and keep you from getting sick. The Mormons have their holy underwear called garments. Now, when they first designed, when John Smith first designed, they went from the wrist to the ankles like a pair of long johns, and they have symbols of their religion on them, that they're Masonic symbols. And it says, as long as you wear the holy underwear, you won't get sick. Now, a real devout Mormon will take the garments off of half his body and bathe half of that body, dry it off, put fresh garments on that body, then drop them off this side and bathe this side of their body and slip them off. Well, you don't know about the garments, do you? But you see, you only get those when you go through the temple. When you've been through that, you got a temple recommend, and you've been good enough, and you've worked hard enough, and you put your 2 years in the mission field, and you've met all the standards, and then your bishop or your preacher gives you a temple recommend. And then you go down, and you get to go through the temple rites. And the temple rites, you learn all about the secret handshakes and the passwords, and you get anointed. And you get the special handshakes and you go through these various ceremonies in which you find out that Satan is Jesus' big brother. That's Mormon doctrine. They don't tell you that because they swear you to secrecy first, see, and then they tell you. But you see, just like Isaac, there was Isaac, and then Isaac had two sons, Esau and Jacob. But Esau, the firstborn, got exiled. Abraham had two sons. He had Ishmael and Isaac. Second son got the favorite spot. Jacob had two, and so forth. And so this is their basis for saying that Satan is Jesus' big brother. That's Mormon doctrine. You find out, I'm just throwing that in. I'm sort of an aside. And they have other strange beliefs. Now they're trying to pass themselves off as a Christian church. 15 years ago, you asked a Mormon about Christian, they said, what's a Christian? Now they say that, well, we're Christians. And they came to my door, you know, and talk to me about it and said, well, I'm sorry, I said, you're Latter-day Saints. They said, yes, well, I'm a Christian. I'm sorry. Well, we're Christians. I said, you don't understand. I don't worship the same God you do. You worship some Jesus that came out of some planet somewhere. I said, I don't worship that Jesus. I said, you think Jesus is the devil's big little brother. And I said, I don't worship that Jesus. And they looked at me like I said, well, have you ever read the Book of Mormon? I said, I wouldn't have that heresy in my home. And they said, well, maybe we better go someplace else. I said, can we pray for you? I said, no, ma'am, I don't want any of your prayers, any of your blessings. And you see, the Lord says you don't even wish them Godspeed, lest you be part of their evil work. I said, just please get off my property now. And they left. They're good kids, good people, hard working, won't steal from you, they're earning their way to heaven. Deceived. Well, I could talk about them all day. One of the things that happens to the Mormon is when he becomes of age, a child becomes 10 years old, he's taken to the patriarch or the stake. Stake, which is a large district, and then they have wards within the district. They're taken to the stakes, the stake patriarch, which is an old man, and he blesses each one of them and prophesies over them and lays his hands on them and prophesies over them. And the prophecy is taken down in writing and given that boy to guide the rest of his life. But when he puts his hands on him and prophesies over him, he imparts into him that Mormon control spirit. That's one of the spiritual ties that binds those kids in. Well, I'm getting away. I'm sorry. The occult is for knowledge is divination. And that's trying to foretell the future. And there are lots of different ways to do that. You know, they are the sticks, the Shishan sticks, the Chinese sticks that they throw out. And they look at the pattern they make and they read them. Tea leaves, card laying, tarot cards. Crystal ball, water witching, table tipping, Table tipping is when they take a table and put two ashtrays under the two legs, and they tip it by asking questions. It'll move back and forth this way, yes, this way, no. And we have a familiar spirit table really moves.
Palm reading.
Palm reading, yes, palm reading. And pendulum and palm reading. They are just, they're games like the Ouija board, like Mary Worth, like body tipping. And you don't know what Mary Worth means? You ever heard of Mary Worth? It's a game that little kids play at slumber parties. They get a mirror and they prop it up and they stand in front of it and say, Mary Worth, Mary Worth, Mary Worth. Say it 13 times and a demon will appear in it. Oh, this one up in Minneapolis, a little group did this, and the demon appeared in the mirror and then came out and played the piano for him, which is not unusual. All good spiritualist churches have a familiar spirit that will play the piano for him. And then it went in to the girl, one of the girls. The girl who was standing and saying Mary Worth, the demon went into, and she left immediately. She was 13 or 14 years old. And she left the party immediately. Went down to the toughest section of Minneapolis, Minnesota, and attached herself to a pimp and became a prostitute. And her parents said they would get word. Somebody said, well, I saw her on the street. And they were searched for her, and they looked for her, and the police looked for her, but they'd get reports that they some people they'd seen on the street. And after 2 years, this friend of mine was up there in having a series of meetings, and the parents came to him. And so they formed a prayer cell to pray for and ask God to send the angels to bring her back. And she appeared. She came back home. And so they cast this familiar spirit out. They found out what was wrong. They cast this familiar spirit out of her, and then all these whoredom spirits. And she had attached herself. She said once that spirit came into her, she felt like she'd been trained all her life to be a whore, a prostitute. And she lived 2 years on the street. They brought her back. They got her cleaned up. They got her delivered. The sad thing is that those people, they have a good job with IBM, but they had to move. Christian church would not accept that girl back. Yes, sir. I'm afraid she's going to contaminate their children. Been a hole on the street 2 years. I don't want her with my daughter. And they moved to another town. They moved out to the West Coast. Because that's a sad commentary on the church, but that's what happened. The witch doctor will give you aluments to hang around your neck. The psychic readers, the psychics will give you things, and so forth. But these are called aluments and potions, and they are not of God. There's just lots more. The games, there's the ability to foretell, perceive things that are not in sight, like clairvoyance or ESP. A clairvoyant is one who has visions of things that are going to happen in the future, or things that have happened in the past. They always have had this murder, and they got this clairvoyant who's having visions of the murder, and he's giving the police the description of the murderer. ESP, or extrasensory perception, precognition, that's knowing about a future event. One day we were here, and a couple came up and asked if we would have two people go over and pray for this man who was having, in Hot Springs, who was having a very hard time, and Glenn knew the family, and Glenn asked me if I would go over there. The man was an alcoholic, and he really didn't want deliverance, but all these people wanted us to come over and pray for him, so I got over there, and he really didn't want to be prayed for. And we prayed for the family. We prayed through the house, and we were getting ready to leave, and he suddenly said, Jenny, you're wanted on the phone. The phone rang. He picked it up and said, Jenny, telephone. 30 seconds before that phone rang, he said, Jenny, telephone. Now, that's precognition. That's a demonic skill. Not from God, from the devil. Done by familiar spirits. Well, all you're going to ask, keep asking me, I'm going to stop and talk about a familiar. Stargazing, astrology, horoscope, zodiac. If you want a scripture for stuff for astrology, Isaiah 47, 13 and 14. We need to read that because your friends will all ask you for a scripture about the horoscopes. 47, 13 and 14. Isaiah 47:13 said, "You are wearied in the council, in the multitude of your counsels. Now let the astrologers and the stargazers and the monthly prognosticators stand up and save you from these things which shall come upon you. Behold, they shall be as stubble, and the fire shall burn them, and they shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame." People who read the horoscope are going to be stubble to be burned. And people say, "Well, I just read it because I'm interested. I don't really believe it. I'm just doing it because, I'm just interested. We'll see what it says. I'm just curious." Hope you're curious. Oh, I hope you got your curiosity satisfied, because you just cursed yourself and your children, your great-grandchildren, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. I use a thing with the men when I'm teaching this. I say, "How do you think your wife would feel if you came home to her and said, 'Honey, I stopped by the house of your repute today.'" And said, "It really didn't mean anything to me. I just wanted to see what it was like." "Doesn't mean anything. I'm sure you don't mind." "You mind it." "I think your wife would take that too well." Well, Jesus Christ doesn't take you going by the spiritual prostitution, going by the spiritual house of ill repute to obtain knowledge. And he considers it spiritual adultery.
What about fortune cookies, like you hear at the Chinese restaurant?
I tell them to take them back.
So do I.
I just, when they put the bill down, then I eat at a regular Chinese restaurant, so they don't have to bring them to me. The owner got really upset, and he tried to explain to me, a good Christian man, tried to explain to me about how the fortune came. So, look, I don't care how they came to it. I am not interested. To me, it's a type of divination. "Oh, it's not. I said, "John, you want me eating here? Yeah. Don't bring those things to me. You and I'll get along fine." Okay.
Now, what if you don't read within them, you just open them? Do you think that has the exact same thing?
You have to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to show you that, Crystal. God told me just to send them back. I don't have anything to do with them.
Neither do I have anything to do with
them. I mean...
What else to eat besides that?
The question was asked that it was all right if you ate them and didn't read what was inside them. And our answer was that... Glenn Miller's answer is that there are lots of things to eat and you ought to just leave those alone, and I agree with him. Any other questions?
Pendulum.
A pendulum?
Yeah.
I went into the hospital about 10 years ago in the emergency room, and I said, "Where's the staff?" Nobody around. And the secretary said, "Well," and she named a nurse, "is doing her witchcraft." I said, "Her what?" "Oh, yeah, anytime a pregnant lady comes in, she takes a gym clip and she straightens it out and she hangs it over their stomach. And if the pointed end points to the head, it's a boy, and to the feet, it's a girl." And she said, "Always works for her." And this is before the days of ultrasound. "And always works for her." And I said, "So we call it witchcraft." I said, "You're absolutely correct. It's divination. It's absolutely forbidden by the Bible." I said, "You're cursing your children for 4 generations doing it. And if you've been in there, you need to repent and ask God to break the curse on you." And their faces got about this big. And some of them came over and said, "Doctor, don't say that right." I said, "I'll show it to you in the Bible if you want to see it." She said, "No, we believe you." I said, "Can you break that curse on us?" I said, "Sure. You pray, repent." The lady didn't take kindly to it. I met her several years later, about 5 years later in the hospital, and she just looked like washed out death. And I said, "What is wrong with you?" And she said, "I've got cancer, Dr. Null. I've been in chemo now for two years, and she said, and she pulled a wig off, so I lost all my hair. And she said, "It's spreading everywhere." I said, "You want me to pray for you?" She said, No. Okay. She's dead.
That's the one who used the paper plate.
Mm-hmm. That was the one that did the witchcraft.
Think about these things. I see a lot of stuff like now they're, instead of fortune cookies, they have scripture cookies. And they say it looks exactly like a fortune cookie, but they put scripture in there. And there's a lot of that kind of stuff out there now.
The question has been asked, what do we think of fortune cookies that have scripture verses in them? Mints that have scripture verses in them. I've never seen one. I place it in about the same category as touching the opening the Bible and running your finger down until you can stopping and looking at the scripture and to see what scripture you stopped on. That's a type of divination, although you're using the scripture. I mean, you're not praying, you're not asking God, but you're just opening the Bible and just running your finger down right there. I don't think that's from the Holy Spirit. Some people do. I class it in about the same category, I think. It depends on the heart. That depends on your heart, okay? And you just have to look into your heart and ask God. Pray and ask God about it. I tell you how I feel about it. That's my own personal feeling. You need to go to God with that. If you want God to give you scripture, you talk and you pray, and you're having a particular problem, and you pray and you ask God to give you scripture, but you don't say, God, this scripture that's in this fortune cookie is the one that I'm going to pick out. I'm going to reach in and pick me out one here, and that's going to be the answer to my problem. Now, that's just plain divination. It's the same thing as going through the Bible and pointing your finger. Any other questions?
What do you know about the Rosicrucians?
The Rosicrucians are a secret society. They're Antichrist. Antichrist Christ. They're sort of an offshore like the Masons, but they use occult art. My wife joined it, and I never saw any of the material. She kept it hidden, secret. Told me she was using it on me. Said, I've tried two or three of them on you, and they work. Oh, God. And so, praise the Lord. She has repented. She repented and burned all the stuff. But if you want to, it's a witchcraft society. I don't know what it's based on. She never talked to me about it. And I never read the material. Ekinkar's. I've read about it, but I don't remember the details. There's a book back there that lists all those things. I have the reference book at home, but somebody may have to go look it up. I just can't remember all, because there's dozens, there's hundreds of them.
Is that the book you suggested, The Beautiful Side of
Eden? I think that has Ekinkar in it, too. She was in Ekinkar. But Mrs. Michelson was, I identified with her because she came out of a family that had been steeped in witchcraft and the occult in the past, and she was the chosen one. She was the one that they had chosen and gifted, and she had to break away from the gifting. And so I can identify with her. My great-great-grandfather was an Indian shaman, and he sold my soul to the devil before I was born. Joe Williams picked me out of a crowd, said, your great-great-great-grandfather was an Indian shaman. He sold your soul to the devil before you were born. He also says he was a Choctaw Indian shaman. And so I went home and asked Mother about it. My mother forbid me to look into the Indian background while she was alive. And so I honored her. But I went. I investigated. He was a witch doctor, and he was a Choctaw. And I got set free, though. Joe prayed for me that night. I got set free. And that was the time, though, that I... You know, I looked up, you know, and I went through after it was over. It only lasted about 10 minutes, 5 or 10 minutes, I'm not sure. The next day, about 2 days later, the nurses at the hospital said, "What happened to you?" I mean, said, "You're not the same person. So something has happened to you." I said, "What happened to you?" I said, "Well, I had the devil cast out of me." And they said, "We all agree with that." Yeah. Yeah. I said, "Me? Well, not little me." Oh, yep, you had that devil cast out. We believe that. But there was a noticeable difference in my personality that people noticed. Yes, ma'am.
What about reflexology and the pressure points in the hand? And is there any correlation to that in the way they had their hand set up on the handout sheet to send warning to the saints? I got the book, but...
You mean the pigs in the parlor? That has pigs in the parlor. There's no relation between reflexology and Ida May's revelation from God. Reflexology is an offshoot of acupuncture. Acupuncture is an offshoot of yoga. Yoga is based on correcting the flow of the yin and the yang, and transcendental meditation and yoga have to do with the flow of the yin and the yang. That's the reason you have to sit with your back straight and so forth. Acupuncture opens the channels of the yin and the yang. And they have these charts that show you. And then acupressure or reflexology shows you pressure points on the feet to correct the flow of the yin and the yang. The good and the evil flow in your body. Okay? Praise you, Lord Jesus. Is there any other questions?
I might not have been listening. I might have went somewhere. But anyway, if somebody massaged your foot and said, told you stuff like you don't eat junk or food and stuff like that, is that what she's talking about?
Well, we've been discussing reflexology. Reflexology, you have to go off and get trained. And when you go off and get trained, you pick up the familiar spirit that you impart when people come into you because they got a headache and they want, and you rub some place on their foot to get rid of their headache. There's nothing wrong with rubbing sore feet. But when you go to a practitioner of an occult art who's been off and been trained and picked up the spirit, and you don't have to really go off and be trained. I mean, you can actually start reading about it in a book and you can pick up one. But you can pick up spirits this way that can be very difficult to get rid of.
What about yoga?
Yoga is the practice. The lady asked about yoga, about a person who went to India to learn how. She's practicing the Hindu religion, and she's opened herself to Hindu gods. Now, Lamas is the highest form of yoga. It's Hatha yoga there, and no self-respecting guru in India would start you on Hatha yoga. They start you at lower levels and work you up until you are able to have control your reaction. And in Hatha yoga, you can release the serpentine spirit, Kundalini, which will rise up into you and cause your mood to swing. You'll be like you're on the end of a thread, swinging over a great chasm with great joy on one end and great sorrow on the other. And you have huge mood swings. Lots of these people will commit suicide and lots of other problems. I mean, you know, you can just get into all kind of problems. Yoga, you pick up Hindu spirits, serpentine spirits, that will twine around your body, twine around your intestines, and choke you, and choke your circulation, and choke your lungs, and just all kind of terrible things.
Now, what to mention is Lamas with the delivery, Lamas.
Lamas? Well, there's nothing wrong with teaching you about your body, teaching you about the pregnancy, teaching you about the labor and the delivery. The problem with Lamas comes when they start teaching you to meditate on the points. And they're teaching you meditation and breathing exercises to control the pain. And that is Hatha yoga.
They say when I was in New Age and stuff, one of the things about yoga is that the whole Hindu religion is based on reincarnation. And they don't want to come back. To them, that's a trap. And so yoga is a means of trying to bring themselves to a point where they can die and not return.
Yes. The Hindus are trapped on the wheel of life. And in each life they have karma, bad things they've done. And you get bad karma. And so when you're reincarnated, you see if you got a lot of bad karma, then you pass down into a lower form. And in India, if you see this child that's dying over there, you don't dare interfere because that's the God that he's just being paying for bad karma in a past life. Maybe when he comes back, he'll have a better life. The modern abortionists tell you that these children that are being aborted will be reincarnated in a better life in a home that wants them. And the yoga is a way to bring yourself into nirvana so that you are accepted into the cosmic bliss. But it's It's a trap. It's a demon trap. People, but it offers healing. It offers escape from anxiety. It offers, it glitters. It's like the lottery. It offers wonderful rewards. But it takes your money. And you get, it's like a lot, you know, it's just like so many things of the devil's. It's it looks very attractive until you get into it and you find out it's a trap. Are there any other questions?
I have heard you call out Kundalini many times. Is that a common demon?
With Lamar's? Yes, sir. With the practice of yoga and New Age and transcendental meditations and, oh yeah, he's a serpentine devil. He's a serpentine spirit. Mind control goes hand in hand with it. Any other question?
You started out to where Paul cast the demon out without asking.
Yes.
How does that work, like with the tape? People don't ask. They ask you because you're on a tape.
No. What the question has been asked about Paul casting out the spirit of divination without the slave girl's permission or the owner's permission. And I said that normally people come in for deliverance. They want to get rid of demons. But if they don't, sometimes we'll work with people and they'll say, well, I'm not ready to give up my smoking yet. I don't want to turn that one loose. I just want to get this, this, and this. See? And I just smile at them and say, thank you very much, and I go to the next person. If you want to stay in bondage to the devil, they can stay in. But when you pick and choose demons you want to get rid of, it just means they'll come back if you're leaving the door wide open. In answer to your question, normally speaking, if someone wants to hold on to their demon, they can hold on to him. The slaves who love their chains will never be free. But in this case, Paul had the anointing from God, a special anointing, to cast that thing out. And I told, you know, I went over why I thought so. But that was an aside, a comment I made. But as a general rule, people, you can't cast demons out of folks without them asking. You have people call you on the phone and say, so-and-so is unsaved and he's on this and on that and on the other. Can you cast the demons out of him? You say, well, we can pray for him to get saved. Because you don't cast demons out of unsaved people. You cast demons out of unsaved people, they walk out, they have no protection when they walk out, when they leave the building, you know, and they'll come right back in.
On a case that takes years, and you cast out some, but there are others left, which I guess is a lot of the time, do those that are cast out have an easier interest to get back in because there's still so many in there? So that you have to cast, say, rejection. If he's going to come back in to hang out with his buddies, then you have to keep casting out.
Well, the question has been asked that we've said, I made the statement that someone who's been in bondage a long time takes a long time to get out. They said, well, if the demons that you cast out in the first session, will they have an easier time coming back in? Not if the person walks after Scripture and doesn't open the door. And they truly and sincerely wish to get free, God will give them as much freedom as they can walk in. I don't think God will let you cast all the demons out of somebody, as Gene said. Then, it's just like when he took Canaan, he said, I won't drive them all out in a single day. You'll take the land little by little. And I think you retake the land little by little. And God will give you as much deliverance as you can walk in. And you walk that out, and then you're ready for more. But it's a process of walking out the deliverance, standing against the enemy, being aggressive, not being passive. You cannot be passive against the enemy. When he attacks you, you just can't sit down and say, oh. I mean, you got to fight. You say, no, I know who I am. And you will not come in. Because most of the time, when we cast these demons out, they'll come in and sit on your bed and say, "We're coming home. You're coming back in." You say, "Oh, no, you're not. I bound you in the name of Jesus, and you're not coming back." But they will set up a situation so to try to get you to lose your temper, or set up a situation to try to let you slip back into sin so they can come back in. They will try to set up a situation whereby you can get legal, they can get legal grounds to come back in.
I like hearing Glenn to judge something. I was in church, and I knew this man had a religious parent. So the Lord impressed me to cast it out, so I didn't, just under my breath, well, not under my breath, just silently, in my mind, I came against that spirit, and I saw it manifest in his face. And later on, he was different.
Yeah. Now, you were moving under a special anointing that God gave you, just like he gave Paul. He said, "Gene, do it." And that's different.
The Lord gives you discernment.
Yeah, he, the Lord wanted that spirit out of that man, and he said, he called on you as his servant, and you were obedient. And so it happened.
You're talking about casting demons out of someone who doesn't ask? You need to be careful about that. The seven sons of Sceva tried it, and the demon didn't want to be cast out, so they got deposed.
Well, seven sons of Sceva, of course, were not Christian. Praise you, Lord Jesus. I mean,
I would say if you can deliver those who don't want to be delivered by the cleanness of your hands through intercessory prayer. And I remember, what was it? I was praying with our son, something. Well, he didn't know I was praying. I just kept praying, and binding every day. And one day,
if it was for your son, you have the absolute spiritual authority to do that over your family because he's your child.
Well, I think you can do it with anybody. Suppose John Jones over here is drinking a lot, and his wife tells you about it, and you say, "Well, I'll pray." Then I start binding that demon every day, and the name of Jesus, I kept telling it to go. And one day it goes. Now I started telling about our son. I forget what it was I was praying about, and one day he was talking about it, and I said,
"Motorcycle."
Oh, yeah, the motorcycle. He was in a motorcycle club in California, riding like a crazy man. And I started praying against those motorcycles every day. In the name of Jesus, Satan, you cannot have my son. I command those motorcycles to get out of his head, and I don't know what all.
Irma Miller has related a story about praying for her son. Who was in a motorcycle club, and as she bound the motorcycles and bound the demons, that her son got rid of the motorcycles, which of course she has authority to do as his mother. And Scripture is very clear on that.
For those of you in deliverance on a regular basis, do you have much backlash, or do you does the prayer covering?
We've been asked that if those that are in the deliverance ministry experience a tremendous amount of backlash.
And define backlash, because
well, that's demonic attack on you and on your family. I make it a routine. You know, we're involved in a war, and I've made it a routine practice for 25 years to pray for my family. I pray for their salvation. I pray for their protection, and I do it two, three times a day. And I come under personal attack frequently, whether it's, you define that backlash or not, I don't know. I come under personal attack, but I just stand, and I know who I am in Jesus Christ and move on. And occasionally you will have a real battle. I had a real battle about 5 years ago, and the enemy tried to kill me, but he wasn't successful. And it was a spiritual battle. I knew it was a spiritual battle when I started. And God was faithful. But the devil hates you, whether you're in deliverance or not. But once you're in deliverance, you're spoiling his kingdom and setting captives free and spreading a message that will set people free of his control and destroy his kingdom. And so he does mark you out and put a special ring around your name and say, "Get this one." And so you need to cover yourself and cover your family three times a day with prayer. But you should be doing that anyway. And you pray for the salvation of the unsaved loved ones, and you pray for protection and ask God to put the war angels around them. Let the glory be, let His glory be their rear guard. I bind the spirit of accidents, injury, and sickness over my family twice a day. That there'll be no accidents, there'll be no injury, there'll be no sickness in the name of Jesus. And bind all of us. Then I have a number of special family spirits that I feel that have over my particular family, and I bind those every day, twice a day. I feel that in the spirit world, things are done on a 24-hour basis. You know, that the Scripture is very plain in Ephesians chapter 4. It says, be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, neither give place to the devil. Okay? What does it say? It says, if you get angry, don't sin. Go and repent. And repent before the sun goes down. Why? Because that's the beginning of a Hebrew day. The Hebrew day begins at sundown. And so, you just go in and you settle it. I tell couples and people, don't go to bed mad. Settle it. Settle it. And the one, you know, apologize and accept the blame for it. I'm sorry. My fault. I'm sorry. We'll do better. Don't go to bed mad. Because when you go to bed mad, you give place to the devil. What does that mean? It means that you move over on the couch, let him sit next to you. Or you move around on the table, let him sit there. You're inviting him in. It says in, give us this day our daily bread. Our healing. Children's bread is healing every day. Give us this day our daily bread. And so forth. I think things are done for your family, prayer-wise, on a daily basis. Paul says, pray without ceasing. In Ephesians 6, it says, praying always in the Spirit, pray without ceasing. Praying always. Watching thereunto. That word watch means to go without sleep. Sit up all night and pray. It's only used four times in the New Testament. It always means to go without sleep. It says your pastor, pray for your pastor because he's sitting up at night, losing sleep, praying for you because he's got to give an account of your soul to God. Let's see. Question was asked, what I pray for the family. I pray that I bind the spirit of accidents and injury and sickness. Be no accidents, no injuries, no sickness. In the name of Jesus. Salvation, I pray for salvation for them every day. I claim them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The lady has related that today during mass deliverance, she received a word of knowledge that the controlling spirit over her infirmities was Barabbas, who was a murderer and a thief. And he'd stolen her time and stolen her relationship to the Word and made her sleepy by causing her to be quite ill. And today she called out the spirit of Barabbas and she received deliverance.
Right.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Question has been asked, how do you pray against soulish prayers? That Christians pray against you.
Well, for you, actually. They think they're praying for you.
They think they're praying for you, but they're praying soulish prayers. Now, we have said that in James 4:13, James, let me look the scripture up to be sure. In James, they... when people are trying to bend you to their will and praying prayers that have selfish ambition and envy, and that's in James 3:13-14. And it says that they are earthly, soulish, or sensual, and demonic. And how do you stand against these prayers? You pray for the people who are praying them and ask God to touch them and bless them. And you say, I reject any soulish prayers that are being prayed for me in the name of Jesus. When they come, when the oppression comes upon you and you feel this oppression coming, you say, I just reject the soulish prayers in the name of Jesus Christ. And I ask you to bless the people who said them and bring them to salvation, fill them with the Holy Ghost, Lord God, and let them see what they're doing is wrong. We have lots of people, particularly during novena time, that really come under oppression when people would start lighting candles for people who've left the Catholic system, and their relatives will go down and start lighting candles and praying novenas for them to come back to the true faith. And these are well-meaning people, but that's a soulish prayer to try to bend someone to your will.
You have 2 minutes left on the tape. Would you like to pray?
Praise you, Lord God. Well, we got to have a deliverance session. Praise you, Lord. We'll have it without the tape then. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Well, we better stop. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I told Glenn that I was going to get us out of here by 8:30, but we've had questions for 45 minutes now. Praise you, and after the tape, if anybody has questions, I'll be glad to answer them. Say,
Lord Jesus,
I love you. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Was manifested in the flesh. Died for my sin. Was resurrected on the third day for my justification. Ascended to heaven. God is my Father. Jesus is my big brother. I am a member of the family of God. I thank you, Lord Jesus. I confess that in the past, at times, I have been involved with the occult, whether from curiosity, negligence, or ignorance. I confess it as sin, and I ask forgiveness on the blood of Jesus Christ. I ask that the curse be broken on me and my children and lineal descendants forever. According to Galatians 3:15. Jesus was made a curse for me, that I might be delivered from the curse of the law. 3:13. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Now all you spirits, all you necromancy spirits, all you familiar spirits, all you yoga spirits, all you transcendental meditation spirits, all you Hindu spirits, all you reflexology spirits, all you spirits of Shishang, all you spirits of yoga, all you spirits of the horoscope, all you Antichrist spirits, familiar spirits, I bind you in Jesus' name. And I say, come out of God's people now in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your power and I command you to leave now in the name of Jesus. Don't you tear these people. You just come out. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All yoga spirits, all palm reading spirits, all spirits of the mind, of the palm reader, the mind reader, the card layer in the name of Jesus. All spirits of...
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.